7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
What's up, monkeys? Monkey Dan here. Welcome to the Live Wild or Die podcast. This is actually going to be our second simulcast this week. I just got off the phone with the wild man, Stevie Richards. Stevie's a pro wrestler. He's been an OG monkey. He's been supporting us from our first Kickstarter way back in 2014. So we've been talking about this for what seems like years now, but we finally sat down, did a podcast, and Stevie recorded it. He's got the legit setup. I'm working on mine. And he shared the file with me. So he just posted it on his podcast, and we're going to put it up on Live Wild or Die as well. And it was pretty cool when he first reached out, because I'm like, gosh, I recognize that name. And then once he shared who he was, it was pretty cool. So just for those of you that might not know this, but so Stevie, he's a professional wrestler. He's the two-time ECW World Tag Team Champion. And then he's a 22-time WWE Hardcore Champion. So that's the most of any other wrestler in WWE history. He's been on WrestleManias. He's been all over the place. He was voted the most jacked superstars in WWE history. So pretty cool dude. We've been chatting back and forth, and just such a positive guy. And, you know, he's really out to just help people. So it's great chatting with him and getting to share kind of my background, the background of Monkey, and talk a little bit about Monkey 360 as well. So please enjoy the conversation I had with Stevie Richards, and you can check him out at stevierichardsfitness.com, and his Instagram handle, I believe, let's see if I can find it real here. Quick. Yep, Instagram is just Stevie Richards. So check him out. And guys, we got 4 days from today, September 6th, till Monkey 360 drops. It's been like a three-year process from the initial concept to working with manufacturers to getting the video filmed, campaign built, all that stuff. So we can't wait to launch. It's going to launch 10 a.m. Eastern Time, September 10th. So we appreciate all the OG monkeys out there showing up on day one and supporting us and supporting wildness. So we wouldn't be here without you guys. I am eternally grateful. I will do my sacrificial monkey workout as always. And just thank you.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards. Welcome to the Stevie Richards broadcast. This is episode 6.5 because it's super time sensitive. September 6th, 2019, and I'm very happy to have my good friend and someone I've been wanting to talk to in this medium for so very long, Dan Vinson from Monkey. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning, which is 2 hours behind me. It's early for me, but even earlier for you. I appreciate it, Dan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Glad to connect finally.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is exciting stuff, and it's been How many years have we known each other now since I reached out to you about reviewing actually the original Monkey Bars, the one that you were nice enough to give me that I haven't even taken out of. I've done the comic book thing where, you know, new in box. I haven't even taken it out of the box because it's an heirloom at this point in my fitness journey. So it's been at least 3 or 4 years that we've been talking, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I remember we've chatted a few times and certainly text and, you know, Instagram and done all that. But yeah, it's cool to sit down and really like dive deep. So yeah, I appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate it too. So the reason why we're here is there's going to be a huge Kickstarter for the Monkey 360 that's coming out on September 9th, correct?
September 10th.
10th. Oh, see, I'm getting everybody like pulling out their credit cards a day early.
But get ready on the 9th.
Yeah, yeah. Get ready now on the 6th. Just exactly. keep hitting refresh for 4 days in a row. But I really want to have the opportunity because I, you know, when I talk to especially people in the fitness category, in the fitness field, and entrepreneurs in the fitness industry like yourself, it's interesting to see the origin to me because, you know, the origins are all different. But I think when you put in certain mission statements and what we might be able to talk about as we go on is certain crossroads where you can choose to do the business thing or you can choose to do the mission statement thing, and we're going to explore that today. But the origin, and I'm gonna embarrass you by bringing up the Breaking Muscle site when we get started here.
Oh, nice.
Because I've known you, but I never knew this about you, that Dan Vinson, you're the president and co-founder of the Wild Gym Company. Is that the parent company of Monkey, or is that a different company?
That's our legal business entity name, and we like being monkeys. But yeah, the Wild Gym Company was like the original. Our original concept was called the Wild Gym, which was like a totally separate concept. It was like these outdoor kind of upgraded wild gyms. Like you've probably seen it at the parks, they have the pull-up bars and the dips and like all that. We wanted to make one of those, but it was, you know, upgraded, wilder, better. But that fell through, unfortunately.
Nice. By the way, it looks like you're about to take this tree down. So in this pull-up shot on the right left, I don't know if you remember that picture, but.
Oh, absolutely.
So what's very interesting, I'm looking at this and I really wanted to speak a little bit more on this. You spent 5 years working as a wilderness ranger, and wildland firefighter. During his years, he developed a love for the outdoors, hopes to combine that passion with his love for exercise to inspire people to reconnect to the wild. Dude, I mean, did you do both of those at the same time?
I did not. So I did. So it was in 2007. It was in between my junior and senior year of college. I worked as a wilderness ranger in Sequoia National Forest, which is in California. That kind of changed my life, set the whole trajectory for, you know, those next 5 years and really up till now. Went back to school, you know, and while I was in the wild, I built basically a all-natural weight room because I was a college athlete. I wanted to stay in shape. I wanted to stay strong. So it's like Rocky IV style, squatting logs, lifting rocks. You know, it was awesome, man.
You're speaking my inner Philly now. You know that. You're a good businessman.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was really just, you know, I was so, I was at the right age, the right state of mind where I was just so excited and in it that, you know, that's all I wanted to do. So went back to school, ended up actually getting a starting role, getting a scholarship to go back. And then after I finished school, I went and fought fire for 2 seasons up in Montana. Did my first season with Monkey Dave, who's the co-founder. And then I went back to California in 2010 and 2011 and did wilderness there. And then 2012 ventured off into the full-time fitness and entrepreneurial world. So it's been a journey kind of unusual for most business folks, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm looking at the back to the site here, Breaking Muscle. I'm going to embarrass you some more by reading some of your other stuff. But, you know, it's you're very accomplished. You know, you're talking about being a Division I lacrosse athlete, but also holding a CrossFit Level 1. This is the interesting part for me, the combination of these two. Being a lacrosse athlete, high-impact stuff, very hard on the joints, basically a fight every game without having a fight, to be more specific. You also have a CrossFit Level 1. And you also have a sports performance coach certifications. This is really important because there's a lot of people that get into the fitness industry with a gimmick, with the hopes and dreams of people, and they plan to market. They're better marketers than they are fitness people. And this is the real deal where you have this background in that kind of stuff. Now, did the CrossFit stuff and the wild stuff that you're talking about, being a firefighter, being a ranger, really set you up to, how should I say, like get out of the realm of, I need a barbell, I need dumbbells, I need a ton of gym equipment, I need to lift heavy to actually look good? Because it's a hard thing when you're young. It's a hard thing when you're my age to get away from that stuff and use your own body weight to not only get strong, but rehab and recover from the injuries of those weights.
For sure.
Long-ass question, sorry.
Right. I'll step back a little bit. You know, when I was in, I think I was in fourth grade, I bought a book. Oh, I had my parents buy me a book. It was conditioning for ice hockey. I played ice hockey, which is kind of strange because I grew up in California, but I was so upset. And I wanted to do everything I could to be as best as I could. So I bought this book and, you know, I was in fourth, fifth, sixth grade in my parents' living room doing push-ups, sit-ups. I bought one of those pull-up bars you can install in your door frame and, you know, was doing pull-ups and all that. So I've always been into fitness from a very, very young age. And that's my little girl, Leon. So I've been in fitness for a very young age. And what's interesting about fast forwarding to that time in the wild was, you know, I wasn't lifting barbells. It was very odd object, a ton of calisthenics. And what's interesting is I could bench more after that season of doing very little actual barbell bench press than I could, you know, doing it three times a week. So that was just very enlightening for me of, you know, there's this concept I think of, you have to go to the gym, you have to go to this hour long class. Whereas, you know, if you're creative and you can kind of like adapt to your environment and see what's possible and have imagination, you can really supercharge your fitness beyond what you used to think. So it's, I'm really excited about that creativity and taking this kind of scientific, strength conditioning. And I studied in college was human science. So biology, taking that kind of foundation and then applying it in creative ways. So that's what's super exciting. That's what I think, Monkey is really starting to coalesce into.
It's strange though, because there's still a kind of hasn't been that paradigm shift. And I see a lot of personal trainers, and you've probably seen it being a sports performance coach, where you see a lot of flaws in the foundations of people's training, and someone's putting them on a bench and making them bench press. Football players probably go straight to the 225 to try to see how many reps they can get. But how many push-ups can you do? How many pull-ups? How much can you move your own body? And when I've trained people, I said, it's body weight, it's bands, then maybe dumbbells. Maybe we never get to the barbell. You have to be able to control this. It's not a momentum-based type thing. So that's and there's definitely no momentum when you're using your products. I try.
Oh, absolutely. recently is I've listened to a few podcasts, and there's really kind of this, what you're saying is there's this back to basics movement, I think, where it's like, let's get our nutrition dialed first. Let's get our mobility and flexibility dialed first. Let's get our sleep dialed. You know, there's this kind of holistic thinking of, instead of let's just pound you for an hour, you know, so you're in a dripping pool of sweat, which I think there's still a lot of people, most people probably are in that mindset of that's what you need to do to get fit, lose weight, get healthy. But I listened to a podcast with a gentleman, his name's Logan Schwartz. It was on, Primal Blueprint, I think, or Primal Endurance. But anyways, he was talking about basically getting people healthy. And then once you're healthy, you're going to be so excited to move and be active. It's just going to kind of take care of itself. So I really, especially as I'm starting to get a little older, I'm starting to appreciate that mentality.
Give me a break. How old are you, man?
I'm 34.
You're a baby. I'm 48. Give me a break. My goodness. Well, you're older than somebody, but you're younger than a lot of people. So
sure,
how's that?
Sure.
So but that's even more impressive that you're at your age to be able to be on whatever generation, many generations down the line of Monkey products, going from the original Monkey now up to the Monkey 360, which we'll get to, like I said, for the Kickstarter. Or you call it something different, right? You don't call it a Kickstarter.
Then you call it's Kickstarter.
No, but you called it something when you sent it to me. It had a
Totally,
I'm sorry. That's just for me.
That's Stevie's right. Special.
That's a secret. Secret between a fitness expert and a fitness novice. Me being the novice. But let's go back. Let's go back to, as you can tell, self-deprecating humor is throughout the theme of all these episodes. Want to go to the origins of this. So the foundation's set and your mindset's there and you're seeing all this stuff happen and you're seeing kind of like, man, there's a market to kind of scale this back to where we need the foundational strength for people. And then of course the convenience, the saving in gym fees, you're out in the middle of nowhere, which a lot of your videos are in really great spots to show you can do it anywhere. What was the origin for you and Dave to finally say, we have something, let's do this?
For Monkey 360?
No, for the very, very beginning, the original very Monkey first. Bars. Like you took the gym wild and you were just like, we're gonna make this happen.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a great answer for that. So we were doing this wild gym, right? It was these big installations. You know, we had manufacturing partners lined up. We were working with the city of Fort Collins here in Colorado to do the first one. I mean, it was gonna happen. And then basically within kind of a 1 or 2 week period, the city backed out. It just kind of totally imploded. But fortunately for us, we'd come up with that initial concept of the original, the OG Monkey bars, which you have. So it was the wood handled aluminum end cap, with the Spectre line inside. I think I have one right here. One of these guys.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'd come up with that. And basically the way we came up with it was a classmate of Monkey Dave's had said, you know, I want to be able to take the gym with me into the wild. So we're brainstorming. I just moved to Boulder, Colorado. We're in my empty apartment. We went to the hardware store and bought, you know, just a bunch of random webbing, duct tape, bamboo, just random stuff. We're duct taping all this stuff together and then trying to kind of make this kettlebell thing. It wasn't really working. And then Dave just kind of looks at this bamboo, this hollow bamboo tube, and goes, well, what if we put the suspension line inside? And we just go, dude, this is it. This is awesome. And we went for a hike that afternoon. We each held one and like, this is going to be a $1 million thing. And we eventually launched it on Kickstarter. And that was Monkey Bars Original. That led to Monkey Bars 2, which led to Pocket Monkey, which, you know, each has been kind of this incremental improvement based on customer feedback and just our personal interaction with the product. And then Monkey 360 was just a branch off of that of, you know, this, the way it came to me was I've been doing some stand-up paddleboarding and I really liked that stroking motion, especially for your core. So I was thinking, how could we create that with like a resistance band, all that? So that was kind of the original concept. And then, you know, that was in 2016, 2017 that we started kind of playing around with it. And then just iterating with manufacturers, designers, and getting to where we are now. It's been a journey, man, but I'm super excited for how things turned out. And I really think it's our best product yet.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm looking at the website right here and some of the products, which I'm fortunate enough to have all of them.
Yeah.
The cool part is about all this stuff, though, Dan, is the fact of, like I said before, the mission statement. The mission statement hasn't been lost. The identity of the company hasn't changed from the original. Because you talk about the original monkey bars that you showed with the bamboo and everything. I'm looking at the monkey bars, too. I'm looking at the pocket monkey materials or whatever may have changed. But really, when you talk about the core of the handles, of the actual webbing or straps or connection or anchor points, it's all, you have the blueprint and building right out of that. When you wanted to go, say the Kickstarter happened for the original monkey and it was extremely successful. Then you went to Monkey Bars 2, then you went to Pocket Monkey, then you're obviously at the 360 point now. What's the biggest challenge when you're doing these Kickstarters? Like, you know, they're kind of more of pre-orders at this point for people, and you offer perks, which it's more than a pre-order. You're not just getting the product, but what's the biggest challenge when you're getting ready to do this and you have to coordinate with the actual production and all the cost and the logistics?
Right. Well, you know, the biggest challenge before is, you know, we had leading before Monkey 360, we would have multiple vendors. So there's a webbing vendor, there's a handle vendor, there's a cam buckle vendor. So there's all these vendors you're trying to coordinate. And it's overwhelming. If one person misses their timeline, then that backs up the next person. So it's just, there's so many variables. Whereas with 360, there's one vendor and they're awesome. They're professional. So from a supply chain manufacturing standpoint, it's just, we've gone from amateur JV to like varsity pro in a relatively short amount of time. So that's just one for the business, but also just for the product in general. I think we're going to be able to deliver faster. It'll scale better. And it's quality. So I'm super excited to finally be at that level and have a manufacturing partner like that.
God, it must've been a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of stress that you couldn't convey on an outward level. You know, you have to keep your identity within the company. You have to still go on your hikes, go on your climbs, live your life. But it had to be in the back of your mind as you're climbing this rock. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening.
Well, it's funny how you forget, but you know, for Monkey Bars 1, the original, we hand assembled all those in our little office. Wow. I still have scars from the blisters, from twisting in the end caps. Monkey Bars 2, we're in a partner's, our former designer's garage. It's like, you know, high 90s here in August. We hired temp workers, friends, the post the postman's son came and worked for it. I mean, just anyone was there assembling. So, you know, we did, it's not like we're just kicking back in Mexico after this. We're like in the trenches, getting it done. So again, it'll be nice with 360 to kind of be beyond that. So,
well, it sounds like you're at that point now where you can offload a lot of it, but the charm and the hands-on thing of actually making these things and making it happen up until this point is really, really cool. So, selfishly, I want to go into, because I want to pick your brain about the actual production of these commercials, which look incredible. I want to know from a technical standpoint, like, what did you guys use? Because whoever's doing the shooting and especially the editing with the speed ramping and the slow-mo, high grade equipment, obviously, it's really good. And you're the guy who's actually there being the spokesperson for it as well. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, we've got a great partnership with Waylon. He's been kind of the director of basically everything since, gosh, I think 2015. He's done pretty much all our videos. Great guy, younger guy here in Denver. He's got his crew of minions that show up and they shoot on a red camera. And, you know, it's a process editing these things and all the back and forth. Cause you know, Dave and I all kind of come up with this script and this vision in our head. And then there's what you shoot. And then there's what you see from the edit. So it's a battle. There's a lot of back and forth. I think we're on version like 18. We finally got the final version of the Monkey 360 Kickstarter video, but you know, for anyone that's thinking about getting into commercials or movies, it's hard ass work. I mean, it's not that I'm some sort of actor or anything like that, but seeing what goes on behind the scenes with the lights and being on camera and just the long, you know, we'll shoot for 16 hours some days, and it's hard work. So, it's made me appreciate that industry a little bit more.
Oh, absolutely. I know for, you know, obviously I shoot all my own workout videos. I don't go to the extent of this because I can't do 16, 18 hours a day. But, you know, back when you did the original Monkey Bars and then you went to Monkey Bars 2 and Pocket Monkey, like you said, going back from the Pocket Monkey, the first two, you guys were assembling that stuff and putting them out, shipping, doing all that stuff, and trying to shoot these commercials for the Kickstarter and give the updates, obviously, on the Kickstarter.
Right. Yeah, no, it's funny how you like forget, your mind kind of glosses over those extremely challenging and difficult times. It must be a mechanism so you keep going forward, right? So, yeah, I mean, it's a challenge. I have a great partner, David, and I certainly would not be here without him. So I think we kind of help balance each other. And, you know, if one person's a little down or, you know, a little negative, the other can typically kind of balance out, and we keep collectively pushing forward. So having a great partner and a great friend has been vital to getting where we are here today.
Very good stuff. You have a great crew too. I believe, and if I get his name wrong, I'm so sorry. The person, the veteran you have working with you, his name's Sean. Did I get the name right? Or was I
incorrect? Oh yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Please tell him I said hello. It was very, very cool to know that he was a fan, and well, hopefully still a fan.
But, oh, absolutely.
So you got a good group of people working on, you know, the thankless jobs that people don't see in the commercials and stuff like that. The people working in the warehouse, trying to get these out, customer service, exchanges, whatever other, you know, headaches that they can take off of your plate.
Right. Yeah. And we've got, we hired a gal a couple years ago. Her name is Monkey Kim. She lives up in northern Minnesota. She's wild. She's just a super cool lady, but she really just takes such good care of our customers. So got to give a shout out to Monkey Kim and thank her for all her help and taking care of the monkey community.
Very good. I'm going to be, I won't sound you, if they call me Monkey Steve instead of Monkey Stevie, see, it doesn't roll off the tongue with two syllables, but I use Stevie because I want to, you know, I, you know, obviously, like I say, you're just a baby. I'm trying to act like, oh, Stevie, he must not be 48. He must be around 34 or 35. Oh, I saw him. He looks 48. So there you go. But maybe someday we can add a syllable to the monkey lineup. That's what I wanted to say. Like, people don't realize, like, it's not just like the product or whatever. I have the manual, which was like mind blowing. Like my wife and I looked at it when I had gotten to Monkey Bars too. And she's like, this is just to a normal person. Like this is out there. And I go, I love it because every single page, there was something put into that. I'm looking at the progression. I'm looking at the pictures. I'm looking at the way the pictures were taken. Once again, photography is off the chart. But what was the process in putting that particular piece of literature together?
That was you know, what's funny about Kickstarter is you do, there's all this build up to the Kickstarter campaign, right? Filming the video, getting the page dialed, all this stuff. And then you launch and then you're like, uh-oh, now we got to actually make everything. You know, so that's like the real work, you know, and, you know, I spent, on that Tactical 2 manual, I must have spent, probably 6 months, you know, just rewriting, thinking about the workouts, finding quotes, working with designer to get everything laid out, working with the photographer to get the imagery, and just come up with that whole story and concept. And what I think is really cool story is I was finalizing, literally I was in Yosemite National Park. I was climbing El Cap, and I was in Yosemite National Park. I was in my friend's lawn. He's a ranger there. I'm on my laptop using his Wi-Fi, doing like the final edits for the Tactical 2 manual, hit send. And then that afternoon went and climbed El Cap. So I think that's kind of a cool little behind the scenes of how things work for us.
Hey, even when you're trying to relax, you're working. So
right.
But it's a labor of love. It's a passion. So it's not like you're going to be, oh, I can't be bothered with this business. Want to talk really quickly, going from the Tactical manual to the actual app. The app is just, it's an incredible piece of just software, put it together. Once again, the identity, because we talked about actually doing some stuff together, maybe coming out there and filming some stuff together.
Yeah.
Which I'd still like to do. I just got to get in better shape. So I got to use this pumpkin pocket monkey a little bit more. But the app, I know how expensive apps can be. I know how time consuming. I know the nickel and diming of the app developers, which they have to do certain things.
Sure.
It can break a company just to create the app to go as companion with the actual product. What was the process of putting that together? Am I bringing up all these bad memories?
No, but it's funny. It's just I haven't thought about it for so long, like the details that you know, it was we probably talked to, I don't know, half a dozen firms in the area, and it's like you get a quote from one and then you get a quote from the other and it's like five times as much. So there was no kind of consistency. And we finally hooked up with a great firm in Boulder. They've done everything since we did the first version. They're great. I work directly with the CEO and owner. But, you know, it's not like we just say, hey, make us an app and then something comes back. You know, I wrote, I think it was like 60,000 lines in a JSON file. So that's just like a data entry file. So all I would have to type in squat / :: 10 reps return. Indent, you know, so I'm literally going through every workout in that app. I had to basically hand enter as far as like reps, names, all that stuff. Filming the video. So you have to film in an infinity room with a white background. Then you have to key it. So that's like removing all the shadows, cutting everything out. So you get this nice white, clean image. Orient it correctly. Come up with all, we did all the artwork for the logos for all the different workouts, come up with all the different workout names, come up with the quote. I mean, it's not like, yeah, that was, I spent a lot of time doing that. So that was probably another, I mean, that was probably a 6 month project. So yeah, it's, there's a lot. Well,
I'll say the smartest thing you did. Because I've worked on apps, I worked on roadmaps, I was on Teams, I was on the DDP Yoga app.
Okay.
Outsourcing it to another country to try to save money will cost you 4 to 5 to 10 times more than having it right there in your hometown where you can drive down to the office and say, what's going on?
Yeah.
When you have a company that's out there and you think, oh, it's only a third of the price, there's no amount of money on the accountability of a company to know they're right down the road and we got to have this ready. When you're in another country, it's a call. What can you really do? How can you do anything? And, you know, they're all over the place. The app companies just, because they kind of don't know how it's going to go either, Dan. There's right. a lot of work and a lot of code, and there's a lot of turnover sometimes in these app development companies, because coding for 16, 18 hours, dude, you're going to crack unless right. unless you're some kind of serial killer.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So good on you. That was great. And the stars were aligned. God was looking over you, whatever you want to believe. My opinion, to have it right there where you are was a blessing.
Yeah. No, we found a great firm. They've, you know, we have a great relationship with them, and, you know, we're psyched. You know, we're going to add on to the app for Monkey 360. We're going to add a time-based feature. So basically the way Monkey 360 will work on the app is it's totally hands-free. You hit go, you'll get your countdown, and then it'll just walk you through the whole workout. It'll swipe for you. It'll automatically do your rest. You'll be able to pause it for whatever reason. But yeah, it'll be totally hands-free. So you can just focus on the intensity and just bringing it during the workout. So super psyched to add that feature.
Let's touch on that. I'm going to bring it up. I have it right here. The Monkey 360. It's introducing Monkey 360 featuring. This is my problem, though. More in my mind is always more, not less is more. It features a 4-minute sure. Tabata workout, which for people that don't sure. know what Tabata is, could you please explain that? What kind of training that is, please?
Yeah. So Tabata was the Tabata protocol was based on a study done in the 90s by a doctor from Japan whose last name was Tabata. And basically what he did was, it was for speed skaters. What he did was he had two groups. One did steady state exercise. So I think it was, they did 60 minutes, 5 days a week of just, I think it was 70% of VO2 max, something like that. You can, if you type in Tabata study, it'll be right there. The other group, they did a warm up and then they did just the 4 minutes. So it's 8 rounds of 20 seconds of work at 170% of your VO2 max. So that's like all out sprint, everything you got. They would do this 20-second sprint and then rest for 10 seconds. They repeat that 8 times. And what the Tabata study basically found was that the steady state group, they had some improvement in their VO2 max, but nothing happened with the anaerobic capacity. Whereas the Tabata study, the Tabata group, excuse me, that was doing this high intensity work, they had improvements in both aerobic and anaerobic energy systems. So it's kind of like hacking your workout in a way, which is the title of our campaign, or in the title. But, you know, for me, it's what I've been doing recently is I've gotten really away from this like straight up hour long gym workout, whereas I'm doing like, you know, it could be anywhere from 2 to 6 little workouts throughout the day. And these Tabata sprints are part of it. So sometimes I'll use Monkey 360. Sometimes I'll go sprint hills up here in the mountains, but it's just such a quick, easy and effective way to get such a great return. So we thought with this product, especially, it was perfect for combining this core workout as well as this kind of jumping rotational reactive movement that would fit into that Tabata protocol. So I'm stoked to get out there. I filmed a full length workout so you can see kind of what the intensity looks like, and stoked to see what people think once they've tried it out for themselves.
Yeah. I got the video up here from the Monkey 360 page with you. Like I said before, all jacked and everything. Yeah. We see your abs. We know, Dan, come on, man. Now you add weight. Right. You're going to make me feel even worse. But showing other people how they're doing everything. Now, the thing that's really interesting, and if people aren't sold, if you're not sold on Tabata, I know how to sell them on it. I know how to sell this product. Actually, I don't any better than you, but I'm going to try. Bruce Lee used to use Tabata all the time. He was actually the most famous one for a very long time that actually incorporated Tabata into his training. So you look at Bruce Lee, that was the main staple of his workouts, whether resistance-based, bodyweight-based, cardio-based. That's the way I think he trained all the time. The other thing about what you said is very famous workout technique from Pavel Tatsaline, greasing the groove. Okay. So these yep. micro workouts are basically like greasing the groove, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, back to Bruce Lee, maybe I swear I heard a quote about Bruce Lee where it was something, I can't remember the exact quote, but the concept was like, he never wanted to train to failure or exhaustion because he always wanted to be ready for battle or for fighting. Do you remember hearing anything like that from Bruce Lee?
The only quote I remember, I just saw it as a matter of fact. I mean, it'll probably come up in Facebook since we talked about it. They'll probably put an ad out listening to our conversation. It was like, why do you fight? And he said, I would rather be a warrior in the garden than a gardener in war.
Right, it's kind of
along the lines of what you're saying. He's always going to be ready for whatever. But I know the quote, and I can't think of it either. Sorry.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. And it was
my excuse is CTE. I don't know what yours is for all the concussions.
I probably got a little bit myself. But no, it's I really, especially, you know, I have a almost 1-year-old daughter now, and just with the business getting bigger, and it's just time is, it's hard to find that hour to go to the gym. So what I've been doing more so is just, again, these little micro workouts, these kind of spreading it out throughout the day. And I think what is happening is I'm accumulating more volume in total because I'm not exhausted. So I can actually do more work versus if you're just trying to go ham for an hour, you'll go for a little while, but then you drop off. So I've noticed I recover better. I'm sleeping better. I can kind of just pick up and go at any time as far as like I can, because I'm kind of all, I'm at this maybe 70-80% all the time. If I want to go to 100, I have that energy reserve to go there. Versus, you know, I think, you know, if you look at the kind of HIIT craze where people are going and doing these super intense HIIT workouts every day, or just, it's hard to really progress from that, at least if you're not allowing yourself to recover properly. So one thing I want to specify with what we're saying with Tabata is, if you're going to do Tabata, you got to do it right. It's 4 minutes. You got to do it hard and then you're done. You don't do 4 Tabatas necessarily, because you're not going to have the same intensity. So again, that's where I'm trying to really bring in that sport science, that exercise physiology into our product. So
I think the term like that you want to think about, because most people think a fitness journey is, because everybody puts a label on it. Even I had to do it with the 12 and 16 week resistance. I have to put a time that people for scheduling.
Right.
But really, right, you want to take a viewpoint, like you're saying, is all benefiting your longevity, your lifelong fitness journey, your ability to live as healthy and as long as you can. You can't redline yourself every day. It's a thing that I need to get past, because in wrestling, it's always beating your body up. And I'm sure CrossFit and the training and even the firefighter and the ranger stuff, it was all based on breaking your body down, but nothing was ever really based on health and wellness. So that's what people need to know. I say all the time, I do these video blogs where I am the biggest hypocrite about it, because I have the biggest struggle with that stuff. It's been enlightening, and it's been awesome getting outside every day this week to do the workouts, to test out the pocket monkey, the iso core, not quite the tactical ladder yet. I'll get to it, but
that's full on.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm looking forward, but I want to take that progression. Like you were just saying, I don't want to overload myself. Yeah. I'm having the time of my life this week, being outdoors, the sun, the vitamin D, all this other stuff, working a sweat up, listening to the music and nature and all this stuff. Yet I'm saying at the end of the week, oh my God, I haven't touched the weight. I haven't done this. Am I getting too skinny? Am I getting too, dude, ridiculously stupid stuff. I feel great. What the hell's wrong with me?
Right. And look great too. No, I really think, I think what I finally realized is that everything counts as far as fitness, movement. You know, I remember back, like in college, I would have my workout plan, and I remember I would just, if I knew I couldn't finish it, I just wouldn't even do anything. I would only do something if I knew I was going to complete it. Whereas that's such a naive way to think. It's like, we'll do a third or half. That something is always better than nothing. And, you know, this last year really taught me a lot with, you know, having a baby, and just time changes. So it's, you know, it's how can I kind of, if I was taking her for a walk, I'd wear a weight vest and bring pocket monkey, and then I could stop and do a few reps at the park along the way. You know, it's just trying to squeeze every opportunity for training throughout the day versus being like, oh, I can only train for this 1 hour in the gym. So I really think that's one, what people are kind of made more for. And second, it's just, for most people, it's probably going to fit better in your life. You can just adopt this attitude of how can I move more, train more, just take every opportunity throughout the day. So
yeah, that's bringing up your Instagram, by the way. This is what life is all about, dude. This is what my wife and I want to go, want to move to the mountains, want to go to the Blue Ridge Mountains. We don't quite have what you have, you know, in Colorado, but this is what life should be about. And you're talking about, you know, you have episode 499 of your podcast. We'll get that in a second. But this picture here of just, you know, doing an L sit off a branch is just amazing. That's the kind of stuff and seeing all the stuff around you. I know it sounds like new age mumbo jumbo and everything, but dude, it's such an awakening every day to get out there and not even talking about working out. You're talking about taking a walk, doing whatever, trying to do whatever you can to, you know, to reconnect with nature, which you can't even be more disconnected when you're using one of these things all the time, except for using your app. But, but it's really like, it's so incredible. Like, and this is based off of us talking back and forth, being 47, 48 years old and feeling like I'm not only rediscovering my fitness journey, but rediscovering the environment and the world around me is super cool.
Oh yeah.
I have to thank you for that.
Oh, well, appreciate it. Thanks, man.
So
yeah, it's,
go ahead. I'm sorry. No,
I was going to say, you know, it's, we just took our first kind of full family backpacking trip, last week, and it's I've noticed with the business and the last 2-3 years, it's my time disconnected has been eroded more and more over the years. But man, I think the more you can just get out, like you were saying, even just going for a walk in the woods, or even honestly, even if I take a lap around the neighborhood, you know, it's the suburbs. It's not super wild, but you know, there's trees and it's fresh air and there's sun. I hate that feeling of being inside all day and coming out in the afternoon and having that sun hit you. And it's almost like you flinch. So and especially from the time, you know, working as a wilderness ranger and firefighting, where you're literally out there almost, well, sometimes living in the wild for extended periods. It's such an important part of, being a human and a person. And I think it's going to benefit the more people get out there, it's going to be better for us all. So get out there, folks.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the podcast, because you have messages like that when you're recording the podcast as well. Very motivational stuff. You break down a lot. It's not just basically sales pitch for monkey products all throughout the episodes. The episodes are really thought provoking and motivating and inspirational. But what made you want to, because you were around for, I think we talked about it about a year or two ago. It's like, man, you should start a podcast or do something. Not that I was the catalyst, but, you know, it's natural because you have a lot of thoughts. You have a lot of information to get out there, not just the monkey sales pitch. So it's really great. And I think for a business, and probably, you know, you thought this somewhere along the line, for a business to be an information source as well as just a product is invaluable, and people appreciate that.
Right. Yeah, no, I think, you know, I've been a consumer of podcasts for a while, and I had a radio show when I was in college. This would have been back in 2005, 2006. It was called The Grizzly Show. And so once a week would go on for 2 hours on just the school radio, like my mom and maybe one friend would listen, but it was really fun. I really enjoyed it. And what I really appreciate about podcasting is just that long form arena for really discussing ideas and having to really clearly evaluate my ideas when I speak them. Or even sometimes I'll be, you know, saying something and I'm like, gosh, is that really what I wanted to say? So it really makes me clarify and really think about my ideas and making sure they make sense and that they're even valid or not. So I think I just published my 20th episode. I'm stoked to share this on Live Wild or Die. I think the monkeys will really appreciate hearing your thoughts and just hearing our conversation. So I've been a fan of the medium, and I really would love to just do it full time. Unfortunately, I can't, but try and do it as much as I can and get a little bit more on a regular schedule with putting up episodes.
Hey, I can give it a shot. I'm still giving it a shot. So maybe you can come on as my co-host because you have a better radio sure. voice than me anyway. I just got the microphone. That's it.
I don't know. That's debatable.
Hey, you never know, though, Dan. I mean, being local to Colorado, and Colorado has a very – it's one of the few that are left to have a diverse, like, radio station category choice from what I can see. Vince Russo lives out in Colorado. We podcast together with the wrestling stuff. He's been trying to break into the radio business there and have a spot. And it's really a lot of different things are out there. But I don't think there's a – I don't even know what category it would be, a wellness, a health, a fitness, even local travel showing, you know, talking about climbing and things like that.
Sure.
I think you could create the category for local radio there if you chose to. I think it's awesome. I mean, time would be I don't think the motivation or the ability. I think time on your end you might have to turn it into a 90-second Tabata workout in order to fit a radio show.
Right, right.
Well, there, I gave you an idea. 90-second Tabata. which is still 90 seconds of Tabata. Now, I want to go back to Tabata real quick. Another benefit I forgot. When you do steady-state cardio, your heart rate might be up. Your metabolism might be up for maybe an hour, maybe two at the max. When you do Tabata, it could be, theoretically, up to 48 hours your metabolism is supercharged, correct?
Right. Yeah. There's that, the EPOC, so the excess post exercise oxygen consumption. I think I said that right. But, there's that kind of extended metabolism elevation. And, you know, another thing I've noticed is I like to do that high intensity Tabata style. And I like to do as kind of like, that's the top of the pyramid as far as my training. And then a lot of it is kind of that lower, kind of like almost walking, easy jogging. I don't like doing a lot of the middle ground where it's like, you know, you're running hard, you're breathing hard, you're trying to go. It's like that, they call it the black hole, I think, in the endurance world. So I think it's like that polarized setup for your training where you're doing super high intensity or this really kind of chill, casual, balancing that out, I think, is so important. But the afterburn effect, for lack of a better word, of Tabata is, I think, one of the secret sauces that gets overlooked a lot.
Yeah. I think the thing that with the workouts, and this is why I discovered by taking it outdoors recently, is it feels, even though the exercise is hard, I'm sweating, my heart rate is up, it feels like I'm playing. I almost feel like sort of a kid again. I'm in a playground. Yeah. And my workouts, like today, I did 100 reps of squats. After doing 100 kettlebell swings, I did 100 sets of, 100 sets. Oh my God. 100 reps of squats, 100 reps of rows, 100 reps of chest press on the pocket monkey. And then I did, just a light, cause I've been doing core every day pretty much on the iso core, for the rotational thing, 20 reps of each thing within the thing. So I picked a number. I did it. There was no time limit outside of getting here to interview you. And I was outdoors and I felt like I was playing. I didn't feel like I was rushing from one station to the next at the gym where I had to think about if that dude over there is taking a selfie and an Instagram video is going to take my bench away. And all, I was really just focusing on what was going on. And it was fun, man. I keep saying it was altering, like kind of thought altering, but just a ton of fun. And that's maybe why I feel great. I don't feel like I'm punishing myself. I just feel like I'm playing.
Right. Yeah. I same thing. This morning went for a run, stopped, did some pull-ups, push-ups, dips, some monkeying. And, you know, I think it's the creativity side. So it's just it's not this fixed, there's not machines that there's only one way to use, you know, when you're outside, there's creativity in the sense of you can use your environment wherever you find yourself to make up things, use things differently, all that. But there's just something about the fresh air and the sun and just noticing all those small details that, yeah, man, it's play. It's just fun. Feels good.
Very cool. So I want to bring up one last thing, going back to the Monkey 360 that, you know, and I sort of jumped around with the questions with this, the weight resistance part of this. Now, how much weight is in that, I forget, what would you call that thing? What would you, the insert?
We call it the mass core. Yeah, the insert.
So how much weight is in that? It's only one insert, correct?
There's five levels, so it'll go from 1 to 5 pounds. So it's not a ton of weight. But the thing is, especially when you're doing, when you have it set up so it's kind of like chest height, or if you set it up low so you're doing kind of like this golf swing upswing, when you're doing a Tabata, 20 seconds, 8 rounds, you're doing a lot of volume, a lot of reps, and you have that momentum of that explosive movement, it adds up quick. So it's not a 50 pound kettlebell, but if you add up the total work or weight moved throughout a set, it'll add up to a lot. It adds that extra kind of gas on the fire for those Tabata sets. So
yeah, I'm looking at that video once again. And then what I noticed was a lot of different elements of training here. You're talking about the rotational training, which is really super important, and something like, and that's sort of what I've been struggling with, a lower back injury from compression fractures. Yeah, shocking. I took all the bumps in wrestling. My back is not feeling great, but that's a blessing either way. People think I complain about it, but I know exactly where my injury or whatever came from. I didn't get sick. I chose to do that so I can live with it. But as far as training, rotational training scared me because my back felt like it would tweak, or my back would kind of hinge or fall out. I wasn't engaged with my core, whatever was going on. So I always trained within that grid of the, I guess, the 2D thing of crunches, leg raises, maybe Russian twists, but really not trying to, you know, to really go into, I guess you would call it a 3D, 4D grid of trying to do the rotational training of this. Very important. And then there's a lot of studies now that are saying like crunches and sit-ups and even leg raises aren't even nearly as beneficial as the movements we're seeing here with the 360 or the ISO core. Is that right? Correct information?
Yeah, I think I actually started writing an article about this yesterday. You know, I don't have any scientific studies to reference specifically, but I suspect that, you know, if you think about like a traditional gym or even like CrossFit, like it's pretty north, south, east, west, right? You're in these fixed planes, right?
Even yoga.
You just don't do a lot of twisting in normal life. But I always like to think about like camping. Camping's kind of like our backpacking's like this kind of little look into how does a human move and interact with the world outside of kind of our manufactured world. And if you think about it, you do like you're chopping wood, you're throwing rocks, you're, you know, loading the back of your truck with wood you just cut for your farm. I mean, there's so much rotation, twisting, bending, all this stuff you do when you put yourself into a natural environment. I suspect that there's a few reasons for this chronic back pain epidemic. It's the lack of rotational movement and the muscle imbalance, because you're not working your obliques. So you're just missing out on this whole stress and stimulus that's going to strengthen your body and ultimately your back. And furthermore, not to go too deep, but you know, joints get their nutrition from movement. If you don't move a joint through full range of motion, your body's not going to maintain that range of motion. So I suspect that for back and spine stuff, even that slight rotation is important for just nourishing. I mean, the spine is a joint. It's not super mobile like a shoulder or wrist, but the spine does have joints that need to move to receive their nutrition. So that's something I'm really looking forward to diving deeper in and trying to get some more just hard science and some more hard data. How does rotation training affect your health and wellness?
I think what happens too, and I'm being guilty of this, is either the numbers, you know, saying I need 12 to 15 reps and I'm just going to rush through the first 8 or 9 and then go with it. And mostly every injury that I've had, and admittedly so, has been lack of focus. And the rotation is something I stayed away from because of the injury, rather than in the past week or two embracing it. You know, right. And the resistance band helps with the right. ISO core, because it's not a static landmine that's going to give me so much momentum that I'm going to hinge my back out or something's going to happen. But that's what I think people need to, from a perspective of their of their mindset.
Right.
Something is flawed. Something's not working. My core is weak, which means my back is weak. My back is weak, which means my core is weak, because they go hand in hand.
Sure.
You need to embrace that and try to fix that, rather than let's avoid it and let's just do this stuff. Where, like I said, it blew my mind. Like, my God, I've been doing sit-ups or crunches. I've been doing leg raises. We have some benefit. I've been doing some twisting a little bit. But ever since I started this type of training, I feel like, wow, I really felt like I wasted my time. Like, I was just going through the motions with these crunches and leg raises. Now I feel like, holy shit, this band has to come down and touch my ankle. I better squeeze and I better give anti-rotation. I better do eccentric work, or else that thing is just going to pop right out. And I look like I had a bicep there for a second. Look at that. But, you know, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir, but this is all like examples for anybody listening on my end or your end of, my God, this guy is talking like he's never worked out before at 48 years old. But that's the beauty of rediscovering or discovering new stuff.
Sure.
Holy man, I it's a whole new world now to work out like this, and it's not boring. That's the beautiful part.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just to kind of go back to IsoCore 360, you know, IsoCore I think is more, well, it's called IsoCore because that isometric, it's in my, I wanted it to be slower, more controlled, a little more static as far as those isometric pauses, very controlled, all that. And I think it sets a good foundation for 360, which is the training's going to be, as you've seen in the video, it's way more explosive, way more intense. But, you know, I think as far as, you know, like you're saying, the training philosophies and just it, being open-minded and being open to new protocols, new data, experimenting, all that, that's been something I recently have, the last few years, have really tried to adopt and get out of my old, this kind of strengthening, conditioning, a little more rigid mindset, whereas it's like with the micro workouts or just doing body weight and all that, it's all mindset.
Yeah. And that's a lot of it. And that's what we all have to get over. My wife did the workout with me last week. We just went and did all the stuff and everything. And she was so sore afterwards. And I'm trying to tell her, you're sore, so you have to say, now I have to go back and do it again.
Right.
I got to do it again. I can't take a break because you're only going to be sore again. We need to have slow progression with these movements.
Right.
I go,
right,
if you thought this was hard, now in a week or two when you do it, repeating that, you're going to have your feet up on the stones. You're going to be suspended. You're going to think that the other thing's too easy. So you got to challenge yourself too. These micro workouts, before you know it, you're challenging yourself without even realizing it. That's the beauty of it. It sneaks up on you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, like the other day I was like, I had done several of these smaller, shorter workouts of the day, and I'm like, gosh, I'm tired. And then I was thinking back to all the stuff I did, and as a individual unit, nothing was like totally exhaustive, but that accumulated volume really, it adds up. And I think I believe that it might be the way forward, the next big thing. So
yeah, the Bobo Totsalim was ahead of the time with that.
Right.
Volume is volume is volume.
Right.
I did a video about that. An example, I was doing grease in the groove because I had an injury. Once again, I had an injury, so I had to figure it out. So I knew I could do, 5 pull-ups. I knew I could do 10 push-ups. I knew I could do 2 dips. So I was those are the body weight squats, because of the back wasn't going to happen. So you talk about the 12-hour day, once every hour doing that. So you have now 120 push-ups a day. You have 60 pull-ups a day, and you have 24 dips times 7 days times 4 weeks. You're in the thousands. It doesn't, your body doesn't know, like, well, wait a minute. You're not doing this from 5 to 6 a.m., so it doesn't count.
Right.
So it's a cool thing with the micro workouts, and that's a whole, now you can come out the monkey micro.
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, I've really have just been exploring this concept in my mind and then just my own practice. But, you know, every day I, unless there's a real good reason, I wake up, I do 3 rounds, I do 15 rows on pocket monkey, I do 15 push-ups, and I do 15 squats. So that's 45 times three. That's 135 reps, right out the gate. And like you're saying, you expand that over a year. I mean, that's thousands of reps. So I think it's hard to see. Is it hard to see the trees to the forest? The forest to the trees. I always mix it up. But if you can, it all counts. That's what I'm really trying to communicate with our community, is it all counts. So don't not do something just because you can't necessarily do what you think is optimal. Something is always better than nothing.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the 360. Very exciting stuff. Another Kickstarter that's coming out on September 10th. Any more details? I mean, by the exact time that it's going to happen, that it's going to go live, and what tiers can you, is that a secret, or can you tell me some of the
tiers? Yeah. So we're going to go live at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So I'm in Colorado, Denver. That's 8 a.m. for us, but 10 a.m. Eastern time on September 10th, 2019. And there's going to be some early bird rewards, so be sure to get there early. But we're also going to have Pocket Monkey, IsoCores, Outdoor Anchors. We're going to have some of our older monkey stuff at Kickstarter pricing. So it'll be part of some bundles. There's a ton of different stuff. Sorry if it's a little confusing, but we've got it all gridded out so you can see all the different options. You're going to be able to get in at $99 for just the Monkey 360, and goes up into a few hundred for these larger bundles. But we've got special training programs. We've got a cardio focus program, a core focus program, the hybrid, and then of course everyone's favorite, the tactical, which I always enjoy creating and making. So that'll all be super fun. But yeah, there's a ton of stuff. It's a very it's deep. So if there's anything missing, just if you scroll down on the page, it all should be there and hopefully answer your questions. If not, shoot us an email and we'll be on it. So counting down the hours, man, it's 4 more days.
I'll tell you what, you already have 142 comments on the page here. You know, the people are very, very excited. Your society is growing. This is a small representation. These are just people that are excited for the Kickstarter, which is really, really cool. And you built quite a brand. I hate to use the word brand, because I like to use something more genuine and something less sales and marketing. A community, just a community, you know, a society, like you say. You've really engaged, and even the touch that I liked, and I told my wife about it, because I appreciate the packaging. I appreciate everything you put into it. To have a little piece of wood right there that's stuck on the cardboard. It's just, I mean, stuff like that. You just either you don't get it, or you totally get it and you appreciate it. And that's something, you know, that's just awesome. I'm really happy for your success, Dan. I'm really happy to kind of witness it from sort of the very beginning. And you guys just keep going and keep pushing forward and coming out with cool stuff.
Thank you. Well, speaking of that, I can't wait, man, we've got this product line that it's just, I'm sitting there at night like, why can't we do this now? You know, there's these things we're coming up with that are, you know, they're innovations on things that exist. They're totally new things. They're kind of a combination of both, but I can't wait to get it out, because it's stuff that I'm using it's going to make this whole new training philosophy, I think, so much more approachable and doable. So I'm super excited for the next 2 years.
Cool, man. I'm excited to see it too.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll finally get to meet in person. Who knows?
Absolutely, man.
Yeah. I got to come out that way. Yeah, I don't want you to fly. Yeah. I don't want you to fly to Atlanta. That's the wrong kind of culture shock. You see all the traffic here. I'm not going to subject you to that, but I'll make it out there. Once again, the Monkey 360 Kickstarter going live September 10th, 10 a.m. Eastern time. Please check it out. Also, before you go, please tell everybody where they can follow you, and also a little bit more about the podcast and where they can listen to that.
Oh yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So we're, our Instagram handle is @monkey.co. So it's MONKII.co. Our website is monkey.co as well. And you can follow me personally. I'm @monkeydan. And our podcast is Live Wild or Die. So if you search that, it'll pop up on iTunes. It's on Spotify. I think it's on Overcast, Podbean, pretty much all the major podcast outlets. So yeah, that's, I host that. And it's mainly just me talking, just kind of sharing my thoughts for that day or week. But I would love to do more stuff like this. It's just, it's the ideas and just how you can explore these concepts is so much deeper, I think, when you can go back and forth. So I appreciate you having me, and we should do this again.
Absolutely, I agree. Dan Vincent from Monkey, good luck on the Kickstarter. I'm going to be there checking it out, and anything you need from us here at Stevie Richards Broadcast, Stevie Richards Fitness, Stevie Richards, whatever the hell I'm calling it this day. I don't know. It's a journey. How's that?
Absolutely.
Cool, man. And you're going to have this on your podcast as well, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Simulcast so, over there?
Simulcast, yeah. So I'll get the recording, and yeah, stoked to share it with the monkeys.
Absolutely. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening, for watching here on the YouTube channel. Check it out. Go subscribe. Click the bell to get notified. Of course, subscribe to Dan's podcast, Live Wild or Die. Live Wild is actually the choice that we both picked for you, not the other. How's that? All right. God bless you, everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks, Steve.